the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
When you ask them where they live, they don't know. You ask them who else is in the car with them, they claim not to know.
Well, when I first got on the plane, I saw flies, and I've been traveling.
He then tried another tactic as though he had very suddenly switched personalities.
The system is broken. And everybody knows it.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Clara Bingham continues with us from Joyful Union Congregation this hour as we talk about the First Amendment and teaching the First Amendment to our young people. But we've got some pretty weird, you know, it's interesting, and I'm glad that we're doing this. I really am, because it's interesting to see just what is our grasp and our understanding of the Constitution, of the First Amendment, and what do we think are the constitutional limits of these things called our rights, in this case, the Bill of Rights. Plus, the most expensive celebrity divorces, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. On our website, philhendryshow.com, right now, if you got a backstage pass, you can watch us performing the show on our live video cast. You can download the show for tomorrow. You can put it on the iPod and listen to the show. We're going to be making our show available through iTunes very soon. We have an archive second to none of any radio show anywhere in the world. Hours and hours and hours and hours. We've got all kinds of video, all kinds of animated features. We've got a news feed that you can comment on. We have guaranteed email response there at philhendryshow.com. All right, so Clara Bingham, who is the middle school teacher, we have her with us on the line as we continue discussing the First Amendment, and there are aspects of the First Amendment, Ms. Bingham, you were talking, obviously, about the freedom of the press and freedom of religion.
That is correct, Phil, and I wanted to address something right now, if I could. I am not this person who is on your program representing those people. I am a teacher, and I heard you say, who is this person?
No, I didn't mean any offense.
I took grave offense at that. I am telling you that the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, which guarantees us the freedom of religion, does have limits, just as the freedom of press had limits, just as freedom of speech had limits. And if you look at Jeremiah Wright, I don't like Jeremiah Wright. I never liked Jeremiah Wright. I know that he is black, and I'm black. That has nothing to do with it, whether I like him or I don't like him. He has the right to stand up there and act like a full-on jackass if he wants to. By the same token, though, you can't expect Billy Graham, even though I don't know, is he around, or I'm sorry, is he alive?
Billy Graham, I do not believe he is, no.
Well, if he were alive, and I shouldn't say that, I should find someone. Who is the man, Mr. Henry, President Obama, during the campaign, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think President Obama was trying to appeal to whites. At one point, he went to this white man's church. You know that man name?
I don't know what, you know, I don't know what you're talking about.
Mr. Henry, you know the name of the man. He's a white man, got a white church.
Rick Warren. Is that it?
Yes, that's Rick Warren. Now, Jeremiah Wright is told he can't say what he wants, but Rick Warren said he could say his mess. Why is that? Freedom of religion guarantees that even a man like Jeremiah Wright, who is no bargain at all. And Rick Warren, who pretends like he is friend to everybody. I don't know if he is or not. He might be a good man, but he pretends like he's everyone's friend. And I think he's trying to slip in because Jeremiah Wright boxed himself out. You know, Jeremiah Wright dropped the ball. Jeremiah Wright could have been Rick Warren.
Boy, I don't agree with that at all. By the way, Billy Graham is still alive.
Well, then why are we talking about Rick Warren?
I don't know. You brought up Rick Warren, the guy who's friends with President Obama.
Well, I'm saying that Jeremiah Wright could have been Rick Warren if they hadn't broken his blankety blank because of KKK and Hillary Clinton and all that.
So what you're saying about freedom of religion is the following thing. Both men, Rick Warren and Jeremiah Wright, had freedom of speech. You don't particularly like Jeremiah Wright. You don't particularly like Rick Warren, but you do agree they both have freedom of speech.
Yes.
All right. But Jeremiah Wright got busted on more than Rick Warren, and that's unfair, and so he didn't have free speech?
He did not have free speech, no. They told him to go back to his neighborhood, and that most racist part of it was they said, now you go back to your neighborhood because you live with white people anyway, so you got it good. Well, how do they know he's got it good because they live with white? None of that makes any sense to me.
Nobody said he had it good because he lives with whites. I think people were saying it is curious that he lives in a white neighborhood, given his read on the relations between black and white in the recent history of this country. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We have with us Clara Bingham. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Miles in Mobile, Alabama, listening on WAVH. Miles, go ahead. You're on with Clara Bingham.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to this. I just so happened to change the radio and listen to your program. And she was talking, and she started talking about Twilight, and then she started talking about the First Amendment. And I'm just trying to figure out, what does any of this have to do with Obama calling him monkeys when they said he was socialist? His voice and
I'm wondering why it is that in a First Amendment society, there are no black actors in Twilight. You know why that is?
There's one black actor. There is a black actor. If you look at the movie, there's one black actor. It doesn't even matter, though, because that movie...
I'm not talking about the extra. I'm not talking about an extra. I'm not talking about...
There is an actor. There is one actor.
And he was doing what? Delivering pizza?
That movie has nothing to do with the socialist. It's about a lady who wrote a series of four books that had nothing to do with the government. It's just about some dumb... It has nothing to do with that.
We're talking about the First Amendment of the United States, which also covers freedom of expression. And that covers the motion picture and book and everything. Now, how come the only black actor they have in Twilight is delivering pizza?
He's not delivering pizza. He's a vampire.
No. I can't talk to five different people at one time.
How many? Hold on.
I myself am a black male, and this right here is making me feel like why some of my fellow students look at me like I'm it sometimes because of stuff you are saying. You're saying the most
You are trying to blame black people.
No, for the prejudice. You
blame black
people.
You
are saying the most ludicrous things. I don't understand a word you are saying.
I said to you the following thing.
Can I ask you, Miles, a question? Do you have a radio turned up or something, man? It's nuts. It's all kinds. There's all kinds of noise, you know.
Yes, sir. No, it's I'm in a car right now, and I have some stuff in here. I'm sorry.
Whatever you got in the background, turn it down because it's loud.
Okay. All right. Is that better?
No, man. I can still hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry. One second. Turn it down. All right, sir.
I don't know. It's still, but go ahead, Clara.
I'm asking the young man, if Twilight had a black actor who is a pizza boy, I don't know what, you say he's a vampire?
He's a vampire.
Okay. Then that's good. That's good. That means it only took 40 years between Blackula and that for us to make a step up.
What does that have to do? I'm trying to figure out if you're a teacher and you're supposed to be educating.
Yes.
If you're supposed to be educating students, I'm a high school senior. I'm taking honors history classes. I'm trying to figure out what Blackula and vampires have to do with Obama and socialism.
Well, because we were talking about the First Amendment, and someone said to me, what are the limits of free speech? And I said, the limits of free speech are you can't shout fire in a crowded black theater. And you can't...
Not in a crowded black theater, in a crowded theater.
In a crowded theater, ma'am, because that's putting people in danger.
Right. 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 And it's the same thing if you call Obama a commie, you are putting others in danger by saying, look at that, the first black president we ever had, and he's Karl Marx. Thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing.
No, stop.
What?
He may not be communist, but people may have the opinion that he is communist. I mean, I don't understand.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In other words, that is like yelling fire in a crowded theater to say, here's a black man, let's make him president Heil Hitler. See, that, you know how quick people make that connection. Now, in Twilight, the black vampire was in it for only 5 minutes. Is that satisfactory, yes or no?
Wait a minute. What do you mean, yes or no?
I'm asking the young man.
I don't care about Twilight. I'm trying to figure out. I want to listen to this radio show to hear people's opinions, and you're making, I mean, your opinion doesn't make no sense whatsoever. I'm sorry.
You don't want to tell me whether a black vampire being in a movie for 5 minutes,
because
that doesn't bother you.
Because I don't like the movies. It doesn't bother me. I don't even care about the movies.
Well, I don't know. I just don't know what to say about that. It took us 30 years to go from William Marshall to a black vampire for five minutes.
Can we talk back about the president, because this has nothing to do
with
this.
Exactly. All right. Nothing to do with it. All right, listen, I appreciate your phone call, Miles. We do have to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. That young man, I don't know whether or not, Bud, that young man's, what was that?
Sounded like maybe a phone was turned, or he had his phone turned up.
No, his radio was turned up. His radio.
No, I think it's the phone.
The phone's fine. I think he had a radio turned up, so we can double check that. 877-876-PHIL. More of your calls for Clara Bingham as we continue our discussion of the First Amendment. And a campaign has been launched among our high schoolers and our middle schoolers to teach them more about our Constitution, and they're beginning with an education of young people about the First Amendment. And we've had a very wide-ranging and at times extremely bizarre discussion of the First Amendment and just exactly what its limits are and what its what it allows us. And we'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, Clara Bingham is on the line with us as we talk about the First Amendment, the limits of First Amendment speech, and the what we're allowed. You know, we've talked an awful lot about limits. What are we allowed?
Are you asking me that, Phil?
Yeah, I'm asking you that because you've come up with every kind of limit.
So that is absurd. I have said...
No, you have said that we can't say this about Obama, we can't say that about the corporations, we can't say this, we can't yell fire in a crowded black theater, you can't yell the N-word in a crowded black neighborhood. You've had all of these can'ts. And I realize you probably know more about it than me, but what can we say?
We can exercise our free speech on behalf of ourselves. That's what free speech is. If you do not have, for instance, comprehensive health care, you are allowed to say to the government and to the people, not so much to the government, but to the corporation, where is my health care?
Oh, I'm not allowed to say that to the government.
You don't need to say that to the government, because President Obama's already said we got to have health care. These are the limits that I'm talking about, and I wish that more people would understand.
You're telling me that I have the right to say to the corporations, I want health care, but not to the government.
Why would you say that to the government when the government's already said that they want to get you health care?
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call. We have Annie on the line in San Diego. Annie, you're on with Clara Bingham on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Clara. This is Annie. Thank you.
Yes, how are you? Hi.
I'm doing very well. I am a little unsettled with some of the things that I heard you say, and I'd like to address them. First of all, I've heard you refer a few times to Karl Hitler. It's Karl Marx or Adolf Hitler. Set that straight.
Excuse me,
also,
I did not
ma'am,
say that.
Billy Graham has been alive and well for many, many years.
He is
a wonderful, wonderful man that has not put any marks.
No, he is not dead. He's not dead.
I didn't say
Karl Marx. I did not say Karl Marx. I said Karl
Marx.
You're
right. You didn't say Karl Marx.
I said Adolf Marx.
You're right.
I said Karl Hitler.
That's right.
I did not say Karl Marx.
I know.
So you got it right.
It's not a Karl Hitler, ma'am. It was Karl Marx.
I didn't say there was a Karl Hitler. I said it was a Karl Marx.
Well, who was that?
Adolf Himmler.
Ma'am.
Excuse me, dear. It's not Adolf Himmler. It was Heinrich Himmler, Adolf Hitler.
Okay, can we stop with this angle on the conversation? And you know,
what I'm trying to say,
talking about Adolf Himmler.
Excuse me, ma'am. What I'm trying, what I'm really wanting to say to you, ma'am, is that Jeremiah Wright. I've worked in the military.
Let's not be rude.
And you, as people in the ministry, pastors are not allowed to speak politics through the pulpit. They will lose their tax-free status. Pastor Jeremiah Wright did not have the right or the ability to stand up in front of his congregation and blaspheme America and our president. They do not have the right to do that and claim a tax-free status. That is fact,
ma'am. Oh, Catholic priests do it all the time. Catholic priests do it all the time.
Well, I'm not Catholic, and neither is Jeremiah Wright, and neither is Rick
Warren.
Rick
Warren
did it. Rick Warren into this. He does not.
Yes,
he speaks.
But he did do that.
He preaches the Bible from the pulpit. Will you let me finish?
Exactly.
Please give me some.
But Rick Warren was talking about John McCain and all of that. Now, where did he get the right to do that?
Could you tell me time and date and fact, please?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
It was in August of 2008, just before the election, when he
had
Obama. Did
he say to vote for or
Obama,
against him?
And he said to McCain that
something
along the lines of...
Was it from the pulpit?
I said it was in August. Excuse me, are you going to let me finish? Are you going to allow me to finish? Yes, from the pulpit, August 31st, 2008, he said, McCain is my man. Something like that. And then he said, and I'll read it from...
You're not quoting verbatim. Okay. Well,
he said John McCain, and he made a joke about not being able to lift his arms above his head.
America, ma'am.
Wait a minute, he made a joke about what?
Rick Warren said John McCain looks funny when he tries to put his arms above his head, but he was making a joke.
You're kidding.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Big deal.
John McCain can't lift his arms above his head because of the torture that he went through in a prisoner of war camp.
He was broken.
And you're saying that Rick Warren made a joke about it?
He said that he was making a joke, yeah.
No, I refuse to believe that. Tell me when and where. And,
August 31st, 2008, I'll tell you where it was. It was at Malibu Grand Prix.
So it was
Malibu Grand Prix. Was it in his church?
No, it was at Malibu Grand Prix.
It was, ma'am. You just told me it was from his pulpit.
He brought his pulpit. It was he was bringing his pulpit with him. He went to Malibu Grand Prix to talk to people.
Wait a minute. I want to be Malibu Grand Prix. He went to Malibu Grand Prix and did what?
Rick Warren did a series of what he called portable pulpit sermons. And how do you like that? She's laughing at me.
Yes, I am. You're not answering the questions properly, ma'am.
That tears it right there.
That is not from the pulpit. If you're going to quote and understand the different roles and freedoms of speech from pastors and ministers, that they must be speaking in their church from the pulpit, teaching. If this is from the Grand Prix,
I bet you talk to your cleaning woman like this too.
All right, that's not fair. That's not fair at all.
Well, ever since she got on the phone, she's all, you said this and you said that. Now you just sit down and shut up, and I'll tell you all about it.
I did not say that.
She didn't say that at all.
I've been calling you ma'am and yes ma'am.
That's right. She's been very respectful.
That is
now, what were you saying, Annie, about Malibu Grand Prix?
Well, that's where Rick Warren did a lot of his portable pulpit.
Go ahead, Annie.
Pulpit. Okay.
Yeah.
If I was sitting having lunch with my pastor and he says to me, I may vote this way or I may vote that way, that is perfectly free. That is friendship. That is a different type of thing. If he
Are you married? Are you married? Are you married?
That has nothing to do with the price of tea and buying a man. Let's keep to the sport.
Why is he taking you to lunch? And you know what these people do.
Will you stop and let her finish?
I didn't even... Why are you even going there? So you obviously have a
problem. Because you're talking about having lunch with a pastor, and you're allowed to do that because we're friends.
I said if. I was showing a scenario, ma'am.
You're sitting breaking bread with your pastor, what? Are you drinking?
What?
You can't answer that. Are you drinking with your pastor?
Of course
not. Are you drinking with your pastor?
Now, ma'am, now stop it.
You have said, you said to me.
You are being rude. And
no, I am not. No, I am not.
Line.
You said that your pastor touched you on the thigh, had been drinking all morning.
No, ma'am, I am not Catholic.
Oh, Catholics are drunk.
Phil Hendry.
So Catholics are juicers.
Phil, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number and our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And if you join us over there on our website with a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video and listen to the live streaming audio of our show, all kinds of archives. I mean, it is a state-of-the-art radio show website. And we have got we actually do care about our archives, and there have been shows that have given up on saving their archives because their shows suck. So, I shouldn't say that. But, you know, I mean, ours are, we feel, worth saving. I wanted to talk to you about expensive celebrity divorces. I'm going to do that. Not that it matters at all to anybody. Oh, I don't know. Maybe there are people who could get an idea as to just how good it can be to get a divorce, I suppose, if we're talking about a lot of money. Mel Gibson also apparently is a guy. He's an actor. He's a movie director. He's a guy. He was born in Australia, raised in the States, and he's like a lot of guys. I grew up with a lot of guys like this. The N-word, you know, Jews. You can't really do anything about it. Now, my friends, as I was coming up as a young kid, and I was growing up in the northeastern suburbs of Los Angeles, and I grew up in an older part of Los Angeles County, the San Gabriel Valley. That was up in Pasadena, and it's more conservative, and it's a lot of Midwestern stock up there, and very Protestant, Main Street Protestant, a lot of Hispanic folks, a smattering of African American people out Monrovia way, and this was kind of my world, and I grew up with a decidedly white middle-class group of young people, young men. Now, I went to Catholic school. I went to Catholic grade school, and I went to Catholic high school. My last year, I went to public school. I graduated from Arcadia High School. But for 3 years, I went to LaSalle High School in Pasadena, and I went to elementary school, Holy Angel School in Arcadia. So, the kids that I came up with were, I think, typically white. There was the occasional use of the N-word. There was the occasional use of the S-word having to do with, you know, Hispanics. And I'm not saying everyone, but a few. And there were two kinds of white kids. Now, I don't even know if what I'm about to say will be understood by anybody other than other whites. But if there are black folks listening, I'm telling you the honest truth, and you say what you want to say or think what you want to think, and I won't blame you. It's fine. It really is. But I had very good friends, who remain to this day very good friends, who as young people use the N-word a lot. And even on into their adult years, they use it a lot. But for some reason that is only known to me, perhaps, I knew they were not hateful people. Don't ask me why. If you want to get an answer, I'll give you an answer, but you're going to have to let me answer, right? I knew they were not hateful people. I knew because I saw them. These guys are like my brothers. You know, you start out, you know somebody from the time you're a kid until you become an adult, and then on into the years that you get married and you have your children of your own and you go into business. I mean, that's a long time to know somebody. You get to know people, and you also see them as they mature and they stop using those words. Sometime in their 30s or 40s, I remember, I didn't hear these words anymore from these guys. It wasn't me. It wasn't anybody else that I know of. Nobody came up to them and suddenly shown the light of they're still pretty politically conservative people, but they stopped with that kind of talk because I think it was the world we all grew up in. The whole country was maturing. and we had good teachers. But there were kids that used those words that you didn't want to hang out with. I didn't want to be around those guys, and I still don't want to be around those guys. And maybe they stopped using the words too. But I, again, I don't know how to describe it other than to say, as a white kid around other white kids, some of whom use the N-word and all that other stuff, some of those kids were okay with me, and they became my friends, and gradually they grew out of that. And it isn't that I had any great profound insight into human beings. I just, they were my friend. You know, they made me laugh. I knew they were decent guys. They weren't going to take my sister out and disrespect her. And, you know, they had class, or at least they were trying to, and they were trying to get along in this world in a, you know, maybe a little bit better way than they came into it. So those people became my friends. And to this day, and like I said, not every one of them, but a few of them. And then there was the other group of guys who were like that. You didn't want to be around them. They were guys that generally you got into fights with. You just knew they were slobs. And you always had a hassle with them. And if you were at a party, there was always going to be a hassle with them. You didn't want to be around them. And you knew that if you were up, you came in contact with these guys, and it was the right moment, the right time, the right place, whatever, it was not going to, you know, there was probably going to be a fight. But both of these groups of people that I'm talking about, understand something now, what I'm saying to you. Both of these groups of guys were N-word, S-word, white boys. They were, you know, everything. I'll never forget one of my friends. We're watching the Dodgers in a World Series, and they had a pitcher in, Dave Stewart, who was black. And he gave up a couple of hits right off the bat. They brought Stewart in as a relief pitcher. And one of my friends says, well, we got one jittery N-word in there now, don't we? And I think there was a smattering of laughter. Oh, man, are you kidding me, man?
Well, you wanted the guy to laugh, though.
I didn't laugh, necessarily.
So you did laugh. You thought that was funny.
No, I didn't think it was funny. No, I did not. I thought the word jittery was funny.
Oh, man. See, Robert, he's lying. You, man, you're just racist, man.
No, I'm not. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm saying that we grew out of it.
Yeah, but you said you didn't use the word.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you just let other people use the word. You use the N-word by proxy.
Oh, get out of here. It never even dawned on me to use the word. When Stewart came in and gave up the two hits.
Yeah, and that's the same guy they found with a cross-dressing man.
Who?
Dave Stewart.
Well, I don't care if they found him with a cross-dressing man. Is that more important to you than the fact that one of my friends called him an N-word? Is that it?
I'm just saying, man. You had to pick the one guy, to, you know, in a parked car with a guy in a skirt.
They caught him with a guy in a skirt?
Yeah.
What is that about? Anyway, that's no wonder the Dodgers lost.
Oh, will you knock it off? That's got nothing to do with anything. The point that I'm trying to make here is the following. That people... And what makes us people, what makes us the people that we are, it runs pretty deep. There's a lot of behavior that's slob. There's a lot of sloppy behavior, I'll give you that. There's a lot of real piggish behavior in this world. God knows if there's one thing we could use, it's a little tuition. It's a little education of our young people to start to act like human beings instead of this kind of pig-like behavior we see. But nonetheless, I'm sure in my way I was the same way. We grew up that way. But there were, I'm trying to tell you, Robert, I had friends of mine who used that word, and I had friends, and I had people I knew who used that word who I didn't like. And the guys that I became friends with gave it up. I don't know, maybe it's because I don't know, you know?
What, you think you had some kind of big influence on them or something like that?
No, I just got done telling you, no, I didn't think I had any influence on them. I think that was just the kind of guys they were. Okay? Now, what I'm saying, I just got done saying, didn't I, at the beginning of this, that if you're black, you may not understand this.
He did say that.
All right, man. Ain't nothing you're going to tell me about race and about white people that I don't already know.
Well, I'm telling you some stuff right now you don't know. I'm telling you that I knew guys, you know.
Yeah, you might know them and you might think they're good people. I tell you now, they are still racist. Still racist. Even though they don't use that N-word because they know that probably someone will come up and tap their ass or beat their ass or something. I don't mean they're not racist no more.
I'm telling you that they're not because I've talked to them.
I don't know that they ever were. That's the point that I'm trying to make. I don't know that they ever really were. I think it was a word that some kids learned and started to use because maybe it sounded funny, because maybe their friends approved, because maybe that was just the way that you communicated as a white kid in those days. But I don't know that they were ever really, truly racists. And so that's something else to think about, okay? You know, oh, man, you're trying to educate me, man. Don't even do it, man. Don't even go there.
Why don't you listen to a guy? I was just trying to say that maybe they're not even racist or anything. What are you looking at me like that for?
Because, man, I'm not even talking to you.
Why don't you back off a little bit, okay? Just back down a little bit.
You trying to tell me the man using the N-word, he's not a racist. That's just the way he talked. You're talking to a black man. Now, you can tell me a lot of things about a lot of people, but you can't tell me the people you come up with using the N-word all of a sudden now not racist. They ain't a white man I know that isn't racist.
Including me.
Including you. And I'm not saying you were going to burn a cross, but you know as well as I do, you think a certain thing about a black man.
Is that right?
Wow.
So that's how it is, huh?
Man, you know that's how it is.
That's the way it is, huh? So I'm just another cracker. Just another dumb cracker, huh?
I never said that, man. I said every white person a racist. You know that as well as I do. And you might be a good man, but you know you still got it.
Really? Kind of like original sin, huh?
Yeah, kind of like original sin.
So everybody that's white that's born, no matter what we do, we're always going to be that way.
Because you're always going to be looking at black people a certain way. That's right.
And you don't look at white people a certain way, do you?
Don't put it on me, man. I'm not the one. I didn't put your ancestors in chains the other way around.
Well, what are you going to say to him?
Hey, why don't you shut up, bud, okay?
I'm not talking to you, man.
Deal with him, Hendry. Deal with him.
What is this deal with him, Hendry? I'm having a conversation, not you.
Yeah, but he's got you. You're not responding to him.
Maybe the guy's right. I don't know.
Oh, man, you always do that. Maybe you're right. You're always trying to put down being white on account of you don't want to get him to be pissed off at you or nothing about that.
Hey, man, why don't you shut up? Just because you got a black girlfriend doesn't mean you any better than him.
Hey, Robert, let me tell you something. You may think I'm a racist, okay?
Yeah.
But you don't talk about me in the third person when you're talking to him, or talk disparagingly about me in the third person when you're talking to him, especially when we're on the air. Do you understand?
Oh, what you going to do, man? You going to fire me or something like that?
No, I'm not going to fire you, but I will tell you to shut up. I'll turn your mic off. How about that? Or throw you out of the studio. Don't talk about me in the third person like I'm just this guy.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything, man. You know I like you. I'm just saying I don't believe a white man can be anything other than a racist.
Okay, that's fine. I may not disagree with you on that. But you haven't been able to tell me how it is I'm a racist, other than to say that I'm white, so I gotta be.
Yeah, you gotta explain it and everything.
Man, I don't have to explain nothing to you. And you already know how I feel about you. And like I said, even though you got a black girlfriend, as far as you go, Phil, that's just my feeling. You told me to shut up, I'll shut up. I'm going to disrespect you.
What started all this, man? What happened?
Just you talking about, like, Mel Gibson, all that. And you talking about your friend, talking about your little white friends, and how they ain't racist no more.
Look, let me tell you something that you don't know. You don't know anything about my friends, okay? Maybe I didn't explain them very well. Maybe I didn't talk about them very well. So that's my problem. But you don't know anything about them. You don't know the quality of people they are. I can tell you that I think that they're quality men. I've seen them. They're married. They have kids. They do their best. You don't have to believe me, okay? You can talk about me. You can even talk about Bud. You don't talk about my friends.
Oh, man, I'm not saying anything other than the fact that you asked me what pissed me off. You were talking about your friend.
Okay, so I'm talking about my friends. Now we're done talking about my friends. We're talking about me. So you can talk about me. You think I'm a racist? Fine. You think I'm some cracker? Fine. You telling Bud to shut up? That he didn't know anything because he's got a black girlfriend? Fine, all right? But there's a few lines I'm going to be drawing around here, all right? There's a couple of things you don't step over around here. Few things you don't do. One of them is don't start talking to him while we're on the air like I ain't here. That's number one. And number two, don't start judging people that I bring up myself on this show and suddenly you're an expert on them.
I didn't do that.
Yes, you did do that. Yes, you did.
You're talking about his friends like they're, you say little white boys and everything.
Shut up, bud. Yes, you did do that.
Oh, now you're pissed off, huh?
No, I'm not pissed. I'm fine.
You all pissed off?
No, I'm not pissed. I'm fine. I'm great. I love you. Everything's good. Yeah, man, a little hurt, yeah. But I'm glad that we had this discussion, because now you know that there are certain lines that you don't cross on the show. You see.
Oh, man, are you getting up in my face because I come up with some truth?
No, I just told you. You don't talk to, you don't all of a sudden get so much power going in your ass that you think you're talking to him while I'm sitting here and you don't have to refer to me and we're on the air and all of my listeners are listening to you holding court. That ain't going to happen.
Okay.
And number two, if I bring up somebody on my show, I'll comment on them. I don't want you passing judgment. You can call me anything you want. Don't start calling my friend stuff because you're all wired in. Now, how about that?
Ah, that's fair. I don't want to cause a fight.
Well, you sure as hell did cause a fight.
You did, man. You were yelling everything.
I didn't yell. I was just talking. You guys always yelling.
No, we're not always yelling. No, we're not always yelling. You're pissed off about something. Why don't you go take a cold shower or something, man?
Yeah, go take a cold shower. You're thinking about a girl or something.
Why don't you shut up, man?
All right. Sorry. I had a whole thing I wanted to do in that segment. Are we supposed to take a break? I think we are, aren't we? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. I guess we'll do the Mel Gibson story when we come back. Plus, check out philhenryshow.com. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. PhilHenryShow.com is our website. You know, last night I was talking about a poll. I think we were talking about that poll that was that had originally been commissioned by the Daily Coast. It's actually a polling service called Research 2000. Daily Coast took a look at the polls they were delivering to the Daily Coast, and they said, "Wait a second, you guys are full of crap. Where are you getting these numbers?" They looked into the practices and the methodology of this group, and they've sued. They're suing them, and I believe that is a good step, because I'm telling you right now, in this day and age of what we've called the media wars, the bloodletting of these, this is the real World War III. It's the war between the competing information dissemination services and how they are sacrificing the truth on the altar of existence, of surviving, not just profit, surviving. And the Daily Coast has run smack up against it by contracting with this group, this Research 2000, who they can't back their numbers up for love or money. The Daily Coast said to them, okay, tell you what, we won't sue you if you can tell us, show us how you came to these results. Oh, well, you know, our computers are down. Uh-huh. Looks like, yeah, boy, better come up with a better one than that, man. And we got another poll here. This is from Siena College Research Institute. Somebody can tell me that they're the most solid and reliable group of clowns that Ringling ever let loose. But their list of who the best presidents were in the history of the United States is strictly doo-doo. I'm not saying that Franklin Roosevelt isn't the greatest president in the history of the United States. I'm not saying he wasn't a great president. What I am saying is there ain't no way that Lincoln's third behind Franklin Roosevelt. And there ain't no way that Lincoln is behind Teddy. This is if you guys want to do it right, do it right. If it's all about ideology, then at least tell us, hi, here's a list of presidents that we think are great. By the way, we're extremely skewed to the left, and there's no way on earth that we would ever have a right-wing Republican president anywhere near the top. Now, Teddy Roosevelt is near the top, but he was a progressive Republican, as in carry a big stick and walk softly, or maybe it's the other way around.
Carry a big what?
Stick. Stick.
Yeah, I know, because...
All right, so anyway, Mel Gibson's racist, profane rant at his ex-girlfriend Oksana Grigoreva caught on tape, according to a report. There's more evidence that Mel Gibson's tongue is a lethal weapon. The bad boy actor was reportedly caught on tape launching into a racist, profanity-laced tirade aimed at his ex-girlfriend, the latest and ugliest development been the couple's bitter legal battle. He said, quote, "You're an embarrassment to me." He's talking to Oksana Grigoreva, according to gossip site Radar Online. "You look like an effing pig in heat, and if you get raped by a pack of N-words, it'll be your fault."
Wow. Are you kidding me? That's Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson? Mel Gibson?
Yeah, Mel Gibson.
Yes. On the tapes, Gibson repeatedly refers to Grigoreva as a whore, a C-word, a bitch, and like that there. The audio clips, which have not been released, but Radar Online says they're really good. No, they said that they heard, Radar Online did say they heard them, are also laden with threats. "I'm going to come and burn the effing house down," Gibson reportedly tells her. "How dare you act like such a bitch when I have been so effing nice?" Gibson, age 54, and Grigoreva, age 40, have filed restraining orders against each other. The couple, who have a seven-month-old daughter, has been warring ever since they split in April. This isn't the first time Gibson's mouth has gotten him into trouble. As you know, in 2006, he started ranting and raving about Jews when he was busted for drunk driving. "Effing Jews, the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world," Gibson said. Well, that may be true, but of course, you can. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you better hope that people don't cut that part and don't even say the part that you're kidding.
What?
If they cut the tape and make it sound like that's all you said.
Oh, pfft. World-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Dan Taylor. No, Don Taylor. And our screener is Dan Northcraft. Sorry, Don. It's late, but it's usually late. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.